Get a tax receipt via Queens University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Oh, hey, Boomer Radio Guy. You're looking pretty good. Long time no see.
Stack them eights, yo-yo. Feel free to let your tongue down and hammer away with words that make you feel good.
Okay, well, I'm not really sure what that means, but now that I've seen you, I wanted to tell you, I got my own radio show. It's on Saturday mornings from 8 till 10. It's called Making Bacon.
Hey, Beaver, the place to get help is on Channel 9, and I'll do a 10-5 about that motion lotion all over this here slab.
I don't know what that means, but I don't think you should be saying stuff like that.
Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down.
Okay, whoa. Okay, look. It's just Saturday mornings from 8 until 10. Check it out. Making Bacon. CFRC 101.9.
Idle talk is a nuisance. Get out there and do it to it. Love and kisses.
Listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
CFRC 101.9 FM, the Kingston Music Office, and our sponsors, Long & McQuaid and Modern City Taxi, are pleased to announce the 2025 Release Radar Listenership Survey is now open. Select your top 10 singles and top 10 albums and EPs released in Kingston this year by local artists, and enter for a chance to win $1,000 in prizes from CFRC and our friends at Long & McQuaid, KPP Concerts, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, The Screening Room, and Black Dog Hospitality. Show your love for local music. Get in on the action today via CFRC.ca, proudly supporting local artists since 1922. Skin Fusion at 165 Ontario Street, just steps away from City Hall, is your luxury wellness destination offering elevated skincare and relaxation experiences featuring four beautifully designed treatment rooms staffed with professional estheticians dedicated to exceptional care, personalized treatments and results-driven skincare, and specializing in luxury facials, body treatments, massage, and advanced skin therapies using premium products. Follow at Skin Fusion Kingston on Instagram for news and offers, and book online at skinfusion.ca or call 613-541-0111.
Hey there, folks. It's time now for When We Wake. I'm your host, Andrew Shaver, and you've got me for just under an hour. On today's show, I have a wake-up call. My guest today is someone I've known for almost 30 years and someone who knows her way around a Christmas song better than just about anyone. Jill Barber is back with a brand new holiday album, A Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas, which includes a handful of the classics you'd expect, some lesser-known treasures, and a couple originals, all of it shaped alongside her Grammy-nominated producer and pal, Drew Jarecka. Jill's been living in a Christmas mindset replete with its bittersweet mix of nostalgia and hope since February. So it's high time she hits the road and brings her holiday cheer to rooms full of people. In our chat today, we talk all about the holiday tour and play songs from the album. Jill also reflects on the traditions she grew up with, the fireplace, the handmade ornaments, the neighborhood caroling, the things that still shape her sense of the season today. And of course, I can hardly chat with Jill Barber without chatting about her brother Matthew Barber. Jill tells me why she believes in a thing called blood harmony. Now, as is often the case when I get old friends on the line, I get going about all sorts of things unrelated to the show. So after about 15 minutes of that, I felt it was time to get into it. And in today's chat, well, we go right into it. I hope it's not too early for some Christmas chatter. Here's my wake-up call with Jill Barber.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Clever Hopes.
Jill Barber, I have known you for at least 26 years, I think, at this point. I was living in Kingston, going to Queens University, which is also your alma mater. You are an award-winning alum. I was living with your older brother, Matthew. You came up to visit, and Matt and I had a radio show at the time on CFRC, Queens University Radio. And you, I think you were playing at the grad club, or maybe the first time you came, you just played on our show. And I remember you played a Sarah Harmer cover, In the Road, Out in the Road, In the Road. I think it's called In the Road.
In the Road.
That was in 96, maybe. My goodness, that is so many years ago. And now here we are chatting on my radio show without your brother. You're on the cusp of releasing a holiday album full of classics and two originals, great songs, and about to go on, I don't think we can call it a cross-country tour. It starts in Toronto and comes east. That is strange, and I love it. So many people just skip the east, and they get as far east as Quebec City, maybe, and it's all about the west. But Jill, your album is coming out on the 21st of November. You're hitting the road on November 27th with a four-piece band, I think, and you're heading east. Did you ever picture yourself touring a holiday album across Canada?
Yes, I definitely have pictured it for many years, and I'm so happy that it's all coming to be now. And how could I ever forget about the Maritimes? As you know, Andrew, the Maritimes, Halifax specifically, is where I came up as a musician. Yeah. It was my first musical home. And it feels like the perfect place to kind of launch this special project that has been in the works for, you know, at least been in my imagination for many, many years. And why I'm not doing a countrywide tour is because there are so many places I want to hit and there's just simply not enough time. So we're dividing it up. This is a big country, Canada.
No kidding.
And of course, the Christmas season is a limited time frame, so we're dividing it up. And I'm doing Toronto, Ottawa, and the East Coast, Maritime provinces this year, and then Christmas 2026, I'm going to do Western Canada,
so. West of Toronto. So it'll start in Guelph.
Well, maybe we'll do Toronto again too.
Right. So always start in Toronto.
Yeah.
The rich get richer, don't they?
Yeah.
You say that there's a limited time frame for a holiday, a Christmas tour like this. Mm-hmm. Why is it starting November 27th? Could you have pulled it earlier, or do you think that's the deadline?
That's a really good question, and a question I've been asking myself, because I have been in a Christmas state of mind since February.
Yeah, sure. What happens in January?
I took a month off.
You took a month off.
And then I've been celebrating Christmas ever since February.
That's terrific.
But people have a lot of big feelings about when it's appropriate to start listening to Christmas music.
Yeah.
I really support the early Christmas adopters. I think especially in the climate that we're in, people seek coziness and nostalgia and familiarity, and if they get that through putting on their favorite classic Christmas albums or even just decorating with a little more sparkle for some, you know, festive feelings, I support that. In my household, my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, loves Christmas and starts getting excited about it as soon as Halloween is over. And yeah. So she and I are the kind of secret Christmas lovers. And when my husband and son are out of the house, we just blast the Christmas music. But then we're kind of told to turn it off when they get home.
So what are you blasting in the Barbara Lawrence household when it comes to Christmas music?
Well, Grace loves the Mariah Carey.
All I Want for Christmas is
All I Want for Christmas. Right, that's her favorite. So she'll call that one up.
I noticed that you didn't want to take that one on, hey?
You know, there were a bunch of different considerations as to what songs I wanted to try to take on. There is a Kelly Clarkson number on there that I sort of offered a little bit of a jazzier take on.
Well, what do you say we hear some music, eh? Here's Jill Barber's jazzier take on Underneath the Tree.
Alone to celebrate, but then one side. Don't mean a thing until you hold me tight. Looking for a love that's meant for me, a heart that's mine completely. Knocked me right off my feet, and this year I will fall with no worries at all.
Barber doing Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree off of Jill's new A Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas album. Jill is my guest today. Now let's get back to our chat. I asked Jill how she went about selecting the tunes.
I tended to lean into the, of course, the older classic.
Yeah.
The old chestnuts, like the, you know, I'll Be Home for Christmas, you know, the top tier, top shelf Christmas classics.
Sure. And then, and also like some that I wasn't entirely familiar with, like I Want You for Christmas, the May Quest.
That's from the 30s.
Yeah.
That's an old song, but that didn't has, it's not very well known, but no. I just thought it was kind of a fun sort of swing tune.
Well, how did you find it?
Drew Jarecka, my amazing producer, brought it to my attention.
Drew Jarecka. Hey, what a guy.
I know. Can we talk about him for a minute?
Let's do it.
He just got nominated for his second Grammy.
For work with who?
For work with a guy named Justin Gray, who has created an immersive album, which is the new way to make albums, apparently, is to record them immersively.
Wait, what does that mean?
It has something to do with kind of surround sound and
I understand. Okay.
It, like, it's kind of like rather than recording it in stereo, it's the
360, the way you're experiencing
album.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So Drew was just nominated for another Grammy. Mm-hmm. What a guy. Drew Jarecka.
And his first one was for his work on the Dua Lipa album.
I've heard of her.
Yeah.
My goodness. So let's talk about you and Drew and your working relationship, and we'll work backwards from this album. My understanding is that Drew arranged did he compose the two originals? Did he compose the music? You wrote the lyrics? How did you and Drew work on this album?
Drew and I discussed, like, we're very simpatico, Drew and I. We have a lot of similar tastes. We love the kind of old Disney sparkle. Mm. We're both really attracted to nostalgia and orchestration and drama. And so when it came to picking covers, like songs to interpret, it was very collaborative. The two original songs I wrote on my own and just brought kind of scrappy demos to him, and he helped bring them to life.
What's a scrappy demo sound like?
Well, in the case of my song called That Time of Year, it's just me singing it a cappella, actually.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah, because so, like, sometimes when I pick up a guitar and write a song with it, it kind of ends up sounding like other songs I've written. Whereas if I just put an instrument down and just freestyle sing whatever melody comes to my mind without having to kind of find the chords underneath it, it frees me up a little bit to be more free and creative with my melodic choices.
You're kidding.
So I did sing that one to him a cappella, and then kind of sung to him how I envisioned it being supported musically.
When you talk about the how you wanted it arranged, what else were you singing? What else were you picturing?
Well, we had certainly talked about strings on that album, but we also wanted it to be kind of a gentle piano ballad.
And are you singing
like the notes?
When you're talking to Drew about it, are you doing that
a little bit? Like we sat at a piano actually with my piano player Ewan, and we kind of, I'm kind of, I would sort of sing, like, I hear it kind of like this, blam, and then he plays it, and it's like, and I'd be like, that, yes, that, or no, not quite that. So yeah, I am limited because I'm not a piano player, for one. Wish I was, but I can certainly hear it in my head.
Well, that's cool.
These great musicians help me kind of realize it on the paper and on the piano.
So if you could think about how you thought when you first came up with the melody for That Time of Year, and then started to think about the sort of larger arrangement, and now hearing, you know, what you have arrived with the band, how does one compare to the other?
Very similar.
That's incredible.
I was gonna try to play you like one of my early demos, but I'm maybe a little too shy to.
I can cut it out if you're worried about the
first two verses. I'm not sure what this is. Let me just check first before you can.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this sort of thing. I would.
When the bells are ringing, children singing, waiting for the snow.
I've changed that lyric, but yeah, that kind of thing. Like, cool. I could just like sing kind of little, little ideas. And that one in particular, I kind of wrote it in pieces over dog walks and riding my bike. I just would kind of stop to like, and then I sort of sewed it all together and into a full song demo for. Anyway, this is getting into the weeds here, but
that's great. I like it in the weeds.
Yeah, that's how I often work is just like sing a melody in the air.
It's that time of year when the bells are ringing, children singing, spirits all aglow. It's that type of feeling that leaves you reeling, stealing kisses underneath the mistletoe. But secretly we know it's not the garlands or the snow, the ribbons or the bows, or a glowing reindeer nose. It's a million magic moments in which human kindness flows. When you feel it in your mitten fingers and your stocking toes. It's that kind of light that makes everything seem brighter. It's that twinkling feeling, maybe everything's all right. It's all the love that makes
Barber with That Time of Year, one of two original compositions on her new Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas album. Jill is my guest today on When We Wake. Now back to our chat.
I'm really proud of that song because I do think that one really captures, for me, the spirit of Christmas, in that it is a little bit sad because Christmas can be a like kind of weirdly melancholy and sad and reflective, because on one hand you maybe return to the same traditions year after year around the same table year after year, but we change, the people change, some people drop off, and sometimes it's been a hard year, and it's a time of reflection, which can be sad, but I think it's also a time of celebration, which is joyful. So I do think the best Christmas songs strike a balance between kind of melancholic and hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think that I nailed that balance on this song. So I'm proud of that.
Where do you sit, like generally speaking, between on the spectrum when it comes to the holidays, between hope and melancholy? Where's your comfortable spot?
You know, I'm a pretty hopeful gal. I try not to veer too far into like toxic positivity, but I guess I'm just incredibly lucky. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have a lot to be really grateful for.
Right.
And so typically when Christmas comes around, I'm surrounded by loved ones. What a gift. So it's easy to feel hopeful. I'm very well aware that for a lot of people, Christmas is triggering and can be a really difficult season. Certainly on this album, I'm leaning into the positivity of it all. And I also think, you know, I do like that during the holidays, generosity and kindness tends to flow a little bit more. And I should say too, I'm not at all religious. This is a very, like, it's a very secular approach that I take on this album. And in general in life, like I'm not a, I'm a very secular lover of Christmas, but
many of us are, Jill.
I love the family. I love the traditions. I love a sense of community. I love the lights and the gifts. I'm just kidding. I don't even love it. I don't love the gifts.
I put yours in the mail yesterday.
What is it?
Don't worry about it. It's just my way of making you feel like you needed to mail me something. the lights, the beauty of Christmas. How's that showing up in your show, in the production of this show? I have a feeling the live show for the Holly Jolly Christmas tour is going to look and feel different than other Jill Barber shows.
Do you want to see what one thing I've added to this show? This is great for radio. You want to see it?
This is going to play really well.
But I have it right here. This is my new microphone.
Oh my goodness. It's a Celine Dion, basically.
I might say a Madonna.
A Madonna, sure, sure.
I'm going hands-free.
You're going hands-free. How does that feel?
Freeing.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that, you know, you started off this chat with talking about when we first met.
Yeah.
Another thing that we had in common is you were studying theater.
That's right.
At Queens, and I was as well. And nothing like your experience on the stage, but for me, I've had, like, I all through high school, I was a drama nerd. Mm-hmm. I never even took a music class in high school.
Interesting.
I was in with the drama kids, putting on plays, and I love theatrics and I love playing with characters. And so for this tour, I am taking a little bit more of a swing with borrowing from the theater and trying to create a world on stage.
Yeah.
And if I'm trying to create a world, the world I'm trying to create is my living room.
Okay.
Cozy, like a living room. And invite everyone in. Mm. And in my living room, I don't throw up a mic stand. You know, like I kind of, I wanted to like get rid of the whole idea that I am a performer and the audience is the audience. And I wanted it to feel more like a salon, like everyone's invited over to my place for a cocktail party and there's going to be some music and I'm going to take you through all your faves. That's how I want it to feel this show. And so, yeah, there are some set pieces. And
when you say set pieces, you mean like physical set pieces?
Yep.
Like what? Can you share? Or is it a surprise until we get there?
Well, maybe we'll make it a little When We Wake exclusive.
Oh, here we go. Beg your pardon.
Just because we're dear old friends all the time. No, I have a backdrop. There is a backdrop. It's right. Kind of a cozy living room scene. But this is one thing I'm really excited about. I ordered these giant Christmas balls.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're big and they blow up.
What do you mean? You have to blow them up every night kind of thing and then deflate to travel? You got to blow them off. Are you blowing your own Christmas balls?
Yes.
Wow, look at you.
I think I'm going to be doing a lot of jobs on this tour.
Because you've made it such a large production kind of thing?
Yes. And because I don't have the budget to hire a...
I get you.
A blowballing...
A ball blowing. A ball blower. Yeah.
No, there's a pump. But yeah, no, I ordered they're called Holly Balls. Holly Balls.
Holly and Jolly.
It's an American company. Three women that invented these giant balls. And they were on like sharks... Not Shark's Den.
Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Shark Den. Tank, Sharks. Shark Sharks. Tank, Shark Tank. Thank you.
One of them.
They were on one of those. Anyway.
Oh, that's cool. And I imagine they're LED, so you can affect the color change with precision.
No, they're not.
Okay. What color are they?
They're a variety of colors.
Oh, okay.
Well, we have to leave some things a surprise.
Wonderful. That's enough.
I'm going to see what color the balls are.
Come. The allure of the holiday tour. Come see the color of Jill Barber's balls. Wonderful. And with that...
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
catch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sin. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable. Mangled up and tangled up now. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. I always thought green looked good on me.
Who said Christmas can't be sexy? That's Jill Barber with You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, off A Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas, an album that she's about to hit the road in support of November 27th. We pick up our chat with me asking her about the vibe she's looking to create on stage. The idea was to invite the audience into your living room for this Christmas show. What was your living room like as a kid? Not the Jill Barber living room that you're creating now in life and living in as an adult, but when you were a kid, what was your living room like specifically around Christmas time?
I feel self-conscious answering this question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because as an artist, I like to maintain an air of that I haven't had such an easy life.
Oh, I get it.
But you know, really cozy.
Sure.
Really nice. Like, we had a fireplace in my living room growing up, and always a real Christmas tree, and always decorated with handmade ornaments that my mom had made over the years, or that we made as kids. You know, bookshelves full of books, warm, cozy rugs. Like, it was idyllic. It was just nice picture window that we could look out and onto, you know, a pretty sweet suburban scene. Hopefully there's snow right now in my memory of it. Yeah. And Like, it was really, really idyllic. You know, there's music playing. There's a, on the record player.
On the record player.
Nat King Cole's voice on the record player,
oh,
for sure.
That's
yeah,
nice.
We grew up with a record player in our living room. No TV. We were very much like the TV in the basement. The living room was for hanging out, listening to records and looking out the window.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And reading books and, yeah. Okay, yeah, and talking.
Yeah, I mean, my parents are like, yeah, and talking, exactly. My parents are, I don't know, intellectual and, mm-hmm. and really appreciate the arts. And it was very ideal. It was like it was a scene out of, I don't know, a Hallmark Christmas movie.
How much of that lives in your living room now with your family?
A fair amount. We also have a fireplace and no TV in our living room, and homemade ornaments on a real Christmas tree, I suppose, and a picture window where we look. Yeah, you know what? A lot of it.
You've done
a lot of it, Andrew.
Incredible. So those are the main points that sort of thread from one to the other. Like, what are the traditions that you remember as a kid? The holiday traditions that you may now continue, or maybe like there's the hope and melancholy.
Yeah.
Some of them have probably fallen off, and some of them you're continuing. What are some of those?
For sure. A big one for me is, again, trigger alert, like it's all very idyllic sounding. So caroling, we went caroling.
Cool.
We had some neighbors, the Pritchards, and they, Brian Pritchard, he would lead the caroling through our neighborhood.
Mm.
And I remember as a little girl, he would have all the old carols on, paper, he had songbooks. So we'd carry these songbooks and we would light candles and we would walk through the neighborhood singing these Christmas carols. And wow. It's one of my most wonderful memories, kind of core memories of my childhood Christmases. And it is a tradition that we've adopted,
cool.
Albeit it's kind of sort of a slightly different vibe. Now, we actually host a caroling on our front lawn, a stationary caroling in our front lawn here in Vancouver. It's warm enough to have kind of an outdoor party, and we get local musician friends to come out, and I hand out songbooks, and we hand out candles, and people sing. And it's a really fun tradition that we've kept up. And it's something that I specifically do because I know what an impression it left on me from my childhood. And I want to give my kids and all the neighborhood kids that same kind of core memory to take with them into the future.
Oh, wow. That's really beautiful. What do you, speaking of like the core memory itself, but then in the details of those songbooks, do you remember what song you really loved singing?
Yes. And I'm going to perform this one during the show. And it is the closest, it references the Christmas story, the biblical one, more than any other song, because every other song is kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I've always loved the song We Three Kings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just because it's so kind of moody and I remember when I was a kid singing that song on those walks, caroling, and it just kind of spoke of a faraway land and story. It kind of captured my imagination as a kid, that song.
And still holds it.
And then there was the claymation version of it. That's, do you remember?
I do, actually, yeah. Yeah.
California Raisins claymation version?
I sure do.
So
problematic in some ways.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I haven't even really reconsidered that.
I know, we haven't come to terms with the California Raisins, I know.
I really did enjoy that as a child.
I know, right? Holy moly. So I think that makes it the least secular.
Yes, it makes it the least secular.
Right? And then the most secular might be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I'm also doing.
Which you're also doing, you know, and on the album, we referenced your brother Matthew enough. Yeah. Let's talk about it. That duet why did you choose Rudolph to share with Matt?
Well, he told me that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is his son Leon's favorite song, and I said, "Well, then we should make a duet for him."
That's wonderful.
What are we doing here if we're not making music for for the kids.
I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what's guiding me right now too. Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. I know. I love the story of your song with using all of the funny things that Auden has said to create
okay,
work.
Look, not all of it. Okay, some of it's I've written as well. Okay, it's not just Auden. Okay. Sure, the kid.
I hope you have signed him up for SoCan Royalty.
Yeah, I told him I have. Yes.
Just keep 5% for yourself.
What are we doing if we're not making music for our kids? I think that's beautiful. So the audience for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was very specifically Leon, Matt's eldest son, and you know all the other kids, but it started with the genesis of that song was Matt saying it's Leon's favorite song, so can we do that?
Well, he didn't specifically ask to do
it. No, he never would.
I wanted to not feel shy about doing the most popular Christmas songs.
Yes.
That's what people want. That's what so many people want. Anyway, sure. I thought it was a nice combination on this album of like the most popular Christmas songs, a couple of the most popular, a few of songs that should have been popular.
Right. Like what? But, what do you think the ones that should have?
I think it's the second song in the album is a song called The Christmas Waltz.
Yeah.
Which I think is so beautiful.
Totally.
And it's a real lesser known Christmas song. Did you know it before?
I did a little bit, but I couldn't remember if it was the Connick Jr. or the Sinatra. I think it was the Sinatra version. I wanted to ask you what version of it, the Harry Connick Jr. or the Frank Sinatra or another one, was your introduction to that song?
I got to know that song. How many years ago was it that I participated in the Stuart McLean Vinyl Cafe Christmas tour?
Oh my goodness.
Because I sang that song on that tour.
Wow. And that was your introduction to it?
Yeah, at the time I had discovered that song. And so I started.
Someone suggested it to you on the tour, or you said?
I think I was looking for lesser known jazzy Christmas songs. Or I think I was listening to old Christmas music.
Yeah.
At the time, trying to figure out what I wanted to perform in that song. I heard that song. I really loved it.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way. He's filled his sleigh with things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say a Merry Christmas. Wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Bill Barber with the Christmas Waltz here on When We Wake. That's off Jill's new holiday album, A Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas, an album that contains a couple originals, a couple lesser knowns, and some classics, including Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with her brother Matthew. What's it like singing with your brother? And you've done it over the years, so this is nothing new. What is it about singing with Matt that is singular and unique and unlike singing with anybody else?
Well, I think I can take for granted how effortless it is to sing with my brother. And I will tell you a little story to help illustrate that. Matt and I recorded a version of Joel Plaskett's The Light of the Moon for Joel's 50th surprise birthday present.
What a beautiful album and a great song.
Yeah, Songs from the Gang.
Played it on this show a few times.
Thank you. So that's a song that Matt and I have loved for a long time, and it was so fun. And from really the first moment we sang it together, it was very natural to sing it in harmony and easy to record. Did it in a few takes, no big deal. It was fun. And then we had Joel Plaskett here. My husband Grant and I, every summer we do a lawn concert, have different artists play on our front lawns. So we do the caroling in the winter, lawn concert in the summer.
Does your lawn pay SoCan at all? Is it a venue that, I mean, are you paying in? You're writing me about not cutting Auden in to the royalties, but that's basically a venue.
It's kind of an underground situation.
It's literally on your lawn. Yeah. It couldn't be more overground.
You're right. Shoot. Oh, damn.
So Joel comes in the summer to play your underground venue on your front lawn in Vancouver.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, sorry, if you want to get technical, we sold tickets through Side Door. So I do think there was a SoCan fee built in.
You know what? Yeah. That's probably true. Yeah.
Side Door. I think we're clear.
RIP.
I think we're clear. I know. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, great.
Next year, we'll definitely not be paying SoCan.
Good.
Just kidding. Anyway. I think I was in the middle of a story.
You were. You sure were. About Joel Plaskett coming
to
your
Plaskett
house
was
in the summer.
Playing our front lawn. Boast. Name dropping.
I was going to say, you weren't telling a story. You were just flexing. Go ahead. Finish your story.
That's the end of the story. Joel Plaskett played.
That's it. Hey, okay. Terrific. Wow.
No. He played our lawn and he did that song. And he said, Jill, do you want to come sing your harmony part on the song? And I was like, yeah, of course. I'd love to. So I got up and it was really hard to sing that with Joel.
Interesting. Go on. Tell me why.
Well, I think because he's just not, he's not a blood brother of mine.
Yeah.
Like my brother and you.
Yeah. Thank you. What makes it so effortless with Matt?
Blood harmony, baby. Blood harmony.
Blood harmony.
Yeah, I believe in it. I think there's a, and we've known each other our whole lives. We just know each other's voices.
Yeah.
We both just, Matt and I are kind of funny too, because it's not like our parent, everyone always says, are your parents musical? No, they're not musical. Matt and I both just kind of have always been able to sing. Like, I don't mean that I mean, what I don't even mean the quality of our voices. I just mean, technically, we've both been able to sing and we have sung our whole lives. And I mean, of course, everybody's able to sing. I just mean in terms of, I don't know, I've painted myself into a corner. I think both just can, like, we both have a natural harmonic sense. And
you can hit notes and follow notes.
We can hit notes. We can hit notes.
That's it.
Those barbers.
Sure. The barbers can hit notes.
They can hit notes.
And they can hit them together.
At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't even hit that many notes. But the ones that I take a swing at, I can usually hit. Like, I don't have a big range. I'm not.
Do you think that's true? You don't have a big range?
I do not have a big range. I've got, like, bottom end, and that's it. I can't hit the high notes. I don't try.
You don't try. You must have tried at some point.
That's why I didn't do the Mariah Carey song.
Well, I know. I get that. That's why I brought it up. But how do you feel? How do you feel about that? What was it, Miles, right? That said it takes, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. It takes you a long time to sound like yourself or whatever. Did you struggle with that? You seem content with your voice now. Are you content with your voice? Let's start there. Are you content with how you sing?
Yes. I can hear myself imitating when I listen to really early recordings.
Well, who are you imitating?
I mean, Sarah Harmer for sure, when I was singing in the road.
We'll go back into the weeds. What are you doing to, when you hear, like, what were you doing in those early recordings to imitate Sarah? Like, what's popping out to make you go, oh, well, that's very clearly me doing Sarah Harmer.
Oh, and Jewel, that's another one. You just remind. Well, Jewel did this kind of like flick, like from full voice to kind of falsetto thing. Yes. That I did a lot when I was 16. With Sarah Harmer, I think she has certain tonal habits that I copied,
right?
Or melodic choices that I kind of imitated. But I think I do
phrasing as well, like,
yeah,
like
phrasing, yeah, yeah, lyrical, for sure, all of
cadence,
that
phrasing, and yeah, okay.
All of that basically. And I think, God, most people start off imitating someone. Like, I think it's really normal and really healthy. And then I also think I think at some point you have to kind of break off to be your own. Yeah, find your own voice.
I think I started imitating Jeff Tweedy and your brother, quite frankly. Because I didn't come to songwriting until much later, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
When do you think you found your voice?
Well, I think when I dabbled in jazzier sounds, mm-hmm. which would have been with my album Chances in 2008. God, that feels like a really long time ago.
Great album. Yeah, well, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. But I think that's when I was letting go of some more like indie folky influences, mm-hmm. and truly being influenced by older singers, like jazz singers. Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and listening to more jazz stylings when it came to singing. Mm-hmm. And so I think my album Chances was the first time that I started to develop maybe a style that is now my current style. That's like a little less nasally folky and a little more deeper rich, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to talk about these things, but I think that's, if I was to analyze it, I would say that album is when I found tapped more into the my voice as I have known it over the course of many years now, 15, 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
I kind of remember when that album Chances came out. It was the first album that felt like I was doing something. I couldn't immediately point to another current artist that was doing something that sounded like it. It felt like I was offering something along, I should say, with the help of Les Cooper, who produced that album, because he really had a huge influence in how that album sounded.
Do you think there's a development on this Christmas album?
I think if I can answer that, I thought a lot more about the people that would be listening to this album and a lot less about me when making this album. So when I make an album of my own songs, it's so important that I get it right and authentic for me. Whereas with this album, because it felt a little bit more like an offering to other people. I really wanted to make something that it's kind of like buying a Christmas gift. Mm. You know how sometimes people will buy the gift that they themselves actually would like, but they're not thinking of the person that they're giving the gift to?
Yes.
Jeez. Does that make any sense? I'm real time working out this analogy, but I think with this album, I really thought about who am I giving this Christmas gift to and what would they really like? And so I kind of wanted to deliver what I considered to be the kind of musicality that people tend to like from me. So it has a little bit of that like Chances nostalgia, strings, orchestration. Just, I don't know. I was trying to make an album that people would want to put on year after year and have it be part of their holiday soundtrack. And I was thinking less about me and what I needed it to be for me, with this album.
We're coming to a close here because that you've answered my final question, which was, what do you hope for this album? How do you hope this album lives on for people? And I imagine it goes without saying, one would hope that when one makes an album like this, that it's the album in 20 years that someone else is putting on and referencing as a touchstone to their childhood.
Hell yeah.
Jill Barber, I can't wait to see you on December 10th in Halifax. It's such a pleasure to get to chat with you.
Always, always, Andrew. If it's not obvious to your listeners, you might not be a blood brother, but I love you like a brother. I always love to chat with you. And thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of the show, big fan of your interviews, and big fan of your music, and big fan of you. Love you.
Holy moly. I love you too, Jill. Thank you.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Jill Barber with my oldest pal and her older brother, Matthew, on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that brings us to the end of today's episode of When We Wake. Big, big thanks to Jill for taking the time to chat with me today all about her new album, A Holly Jolly Jill Barber Christmas. Jill hits the road November 27th in Toronto and heads east on a tour that concludes in Halifax December 10th. For more information, jillbarber.com or at jillbarber on Instagram. I'm at The Andrew Shaver or at When We Wake Radio. Our theme song is Got You by my pal and yours, Noah Reed. Thanks for listening. And dare I say, Merry Christmas.
CFRC 101.9 FM's annual funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, donors can also earn one more ticket for each of our raffle draws featuring prizes from wonderful local businesses including Agent 99, Atomica, Black Dog Tavern, Diane's Fish Shack and Smokehouse, Harper's Burgers, Domino's Pizza, Tango Nuevo, the